Welcome, dear listeners, to another chilling episode of Midnight Tales, where shadows dance and secrets come to life. Tonight, we bring you the story of a love that wasn't quite what it seemed, a twisted romance that led to obsession, possession, and ultimately despair. Picture yourself in a quiet, unassuming town, where the mundane and the extraordinary collide, and one girl's yearning for connection draws her into the arms of something dark and predatory. This is a cautionary tale of a monster who wore the guise of a lover, a vampire who does much more than sparkle in the sunlight, and a girl who learned too late that some devotions are twisted beyond redemption. So settle in, perhaps with a light nearby, and prepare yourself for tonight's story, Twisted Devotion. Lila had always believed herself to be a romantic in the classical sense, a misunderstood soul adrift in a sea of shallow, sun-kissed faces. The town of Whitworth, with its eternal gray drizzle and sleepy streets, felt like the kind of place that could only be the setting for someone's quiet tragedy. She liked to imagine herself as a figure in an old painting, lost, yearning, and waiting for something, or rather, someone. Not that she'd ever admit it aloud. That would ruin the aesthetic. At 17, Lila was, by all accounts, unremarkable to anyone who didn't take the time to notice the finer details. Her classmates certainly didn't. Her hair, the color of dried lavender, always seemed to frizz just enough to be slightly out of place. Her clothes were carefully chosen to look as though she hadn't chosen them at all. A tattered cardigan here, a pair of boots just this side of vintage. She clung to her identity as an outsider, hoping it made her seem mysterious rather than invisible. Her parents, ordinary, well-meaning people, loved her, of course, but in the distracted way parents love when their lives are more occupied with local bake sales and zoning regulations than with their children's existential angst. They didn't understand that Lila's room wasn't merely a space for teenage clutter, but a cocoon, a sacred shrine to her solitude. The walls were draped with secondhand scarves, each one a souvenir from the life of someone more interesting. An assortment of half-read novels and vinyl records cluttered the corners, as though Lila's life were an endless audition for a part in some old-world drama, the kind where rain always fell at the perfect moment. It was on a particularly rainy Tuesday that her story, the one she'd been unknowingly writing for years, began. She was sitting by her window, a cup of tea cooling in her hands, gazing out at the puddle-soaked street below. The world outside seemed muted, the air thick with the scent of damp earth, and something else she couldn't quite place. Something metallic. As she sipped her tea, imagining herself the tragic heroine in some doomed love affair, a figure appeared in the mist. Tall, impossibly pale, and walking with the sort of deliberate slowness that suggested either profound purpose or profound boredom. He emerged as if from the ether. His clothes, dark and draped as if mourning the sun itself, hung in sharp contrast to the washed-out world around him. She squinted, curious. The town of Whitworth did not get visitors. Not this kind, anyway. He stopped, almost as if sensing her gaze from behind the glass, and glanced upwards. Their eyes met, or at least she thought they did, through the rain-speckled pane. Lila felt something stir within her, a flutter of excitement or perhaps hunger, though it was hard to distinguish between the two. There was something odd about him. Odd in the way that a forgotten attic or a crumbling mansion is odd, not inherently dangerous, but certainly full of things one shouldn't touch. He looked like someone who had seen the world and found it dreadfully lacking. She, of course, imagined that he had come for her. For Lila, it was obvious. This was the moment she'd been waiting for, the opening scene of her great, tragic romance. She could practically hear the violin swelling. If he looked like a predator, well, that only added to the allure. After all, hadn't she spent enough time dreaming about danger? Romanticizing it? Little did she know, of course, that danger seldom arrives with flowers and sonnets. Sometimes it comes wrapped in the gentle guise of companionship, offering little but small talk and glances until it's too late. Sebastian arrived in Whitworth with the same quiet indifference that characterizes every action. To him, towns like this were interchangeable, a blur of fog-soaked streets, suspicious stares from the locals, and the constant drone of human life. He had seen it all before countless times, in countless places. The rhythm of small town existence pulsed faintly, like a heartbeat that was always too close to stopping. He had learned long ago that such places offered just the right mix of anonymity and curiosity. People in towns like Whitworth were both easily fascinated and easily fooled. All it took was a bit of mystery, a lingering glance, a cryptic smile, and they would fill in the rest. Mortals always did. They had a way of turning the mundane into myth, especially when they were bored. Sebastian found it entertaining, in the way one might find a particularly clever riddle entertaining, until it isn't anymore. He chose a house at the edge of town, nestled between a grove of ancient trees that had long since forgotten their prime, and a church whose steeple was perpetually shrouded in mist. The house was appropriately derelict, its windows dark and inviting no questions. It suited him. Whitworth wouldn't notice another dilapidated house, much less the one living within it. Sebastian hadn't been planning on staying long, perhaps a month, maybe two. Long enough to enjoy the local cuisine, which in his case meant the blood of the town's residents, subtle and quiet, of course. No need to cause a stir, not yet. He was in no rush. He never was. That was until she appeared. The girl at the window, Lila, though he would later pretend to forget her name as often as he could, had caught his attention the way a flickering candle catches the attention of a cat. It wasn't that she was particularly interesting, but her gaze, wide-eyed and almost aching with the need to be seen, amused him. Humans were predictable that way, always desperate to turn their lives into stories, especially ones where they weren't quite the hero, but the victim. The misunderstood. The chosen. He could smell her from across the street, a faint cocktail of vanilla-scented soap, cheap perfume, and youthful naivety. Sebastian could read her like an open book, the pages scribbled with romantic nonsense. Each word a plea for someone to prove her life wasn't as dull as she feared. How tiresome. How deliciously. Tragically tiresome. It had been a while since someone like her had stumbled into his path, so utterly convinced of her own uniqueness, so willing to mistake his disinterest for death. He could toy with her, entertain himself for a while. Not too long, of course. A few weeks. A month if her naivete proved particularly entertaining. Then, like all the others, he would discard her, leaving her with just enough bewilderment and heartbreak to fuel a lifetime of bad poetry. Sebastian stepped into the town square the following morning, his every movement a deliberate study in lethargy. His dark coat billowed slightly in the wind, the hem brushing against the wet cobblestones. He was the kind of person, or rather creature, who walked as though the ground should be grateful for his presence. The locals eyed him with the sort of casual suspicion reserved for outsiders who looked like they might know the devil personally, but they said nothing. A stranger in a small town was an event, sure, but Whitworth wasn't a place for confrontation. People here preferred the comfort of hushed whispers behind closed doors. It was, after all, much safer to speculate from a distance. Lila, naturally, spotted him immediately. She had been on her way to the library, ostensibly to study for a history exam, but in truth, she was hoping for another glimpse of the dark stranger she'd seen through her rain-flecked window. And there he was, standing by the fountain, looking as though he belonged more to the mist than to the solid world around him. Her heart skipped a beat, but not in the way hearts are supposed to when encountering potential danger. Lila skipped the way one's heart does when they spot an actor they've admired for years in real life, a starstruck flutter mixed with disbelief. She hovered for a moment, unsure whether to approach. How does one introduce themselves to the mysterious figure of their fantasies without ruining the magic? She wanted to look effortless, uninterested, perhaps, or maybe fate would conspire to bring them together, like in one of her novels. Before she could decide on her next move, Sebastian turned his head ever so slightly, his gaze locking onto hers with an intensity that could have easily been mistaken for interest. Lila felt a shiver run down her spine. Not a cold one, no. Something warmer, something dangerous. The kind of shiver that belongs to people who have not yet learned that real danger does not announce itself with fanfare, but with the absence of it. Sebastian inclined his head, barely perceptibly, as though acknowledging her without deigning to acknowledge her. It was the smallest of gestures, but it sent a thrill through Lila's veins. In her mind, This was the moment, the beginning, the first page of her grand, tragic love story. She had no idea that Sebastian was already bored. "Hello," Lila stammered, her voice sounding far too loud for the hushed, drizzly morning. Sebastian barely tilted his head in her direction, the faintest hint of amusement flickering in his otherwise dead eyes. "Hello," he replied, his voice like velvet wrapped around steel. Polished cold, and entirely unbreakable. Lila felt herself flush, her heart pounding in her chest. She had read enough novels to know how this worked. The girl meets the mysterious stranger, they share a moment, and soon after, they're entangled in a passion so fierce it defies logic. Except in this case, she was not the heroine in a romance, and Sebastian's glance was not an invitation, but an evaluation. To him, she was a puzzle, a toy, a passing entertainment. And to Lila, he was the answer to her silent prayers, proof that she was special enough for someone like him. The romance between Lila and Sebastian began the way all doomed relationships do, slowly, like the creeping onset of frostbite. It wasn't sudden, no whirlwind of affection, no grand proclamations. Instead, it unfolded in a series of small, almost imperceptible gestures that Lila, in her fevered imagination, mistook for something deeper. At first, Sebastian would appear at odd moments. She would be leaving school, her backpack heavy with textbooks she had no intention of opening. When she'd catch sight of him standing in the shadow of a tree, the hem of his coat dragging along the wet earth like some forgotten relic. He never approached her directly. No, that would have been too easy. Instead, he lingered just far enough away to let her wonder whether she was the one drawing him near. It worked, of course. Lila's thoughts began to orbit him like a planet caught in the pull of a dark star. She found herself daydreaming in class, staring out the window while her teachers droned on about historical events she had no interest in. Who cared about battles and treaties when there was a living mystery, a centuries-old enigma waiting just outside her world? Her friends noticed, naturally. Amy, her best friend since elementary school, asked one afternoon, "What's up with you lately? You're spacing out, like all the time." Lila shrugged, feigning nonchalance, though the corners of her mouth betrayed her. "Just thinking about stuff." Amy raised an eyebrow, the kind of eyebrow that usually precedes an intervention. "Stuff? Like that weird guy you've been staring at?" Lila bristled at the description. Sebastian wasn't weird. He was enigmatic. "He's not weird," she muttered, looking down at her chipped nail polish. "He's different." Amy groaned, leaning back in her chair. They were at their usual after-school haunt, a cafe that prided itself on serving overpriced lattes to students who pretended to be sophisticated. "Different how? Like I never see him in daylight different? Or different like he reads Sylvia Plath for fun?" Lila ignored her because what could Amy possibly understand? Amy's idea of romance involved guys from the soccer team and awkward text conversations about weekend parties. Amy couldn't fathom the kind of connection Lila was forming with Sebastian. The quiet, unspoken understanding that passed between them whenever their eyes met. It was there. She knew it was. In the days that followed, Sebastian finally spoke to her again. It was, as Lila would later recall, perfectly orchestrated, as if he had planned it down to the second. She was walking home from school, her mind drifting in and out of another fantasy, where Sebastian was a tragic figure cursed by some ancient sorcery. It didn't matter what kind, so long as it was tragic, when he appeared beside her, seemingly out of nowhere. "You walk alone often," he observed, his voice soft and low, like the rustle of leaves in an abandoned graveyard. Lila felt her pulse quicken, a thrill shooting up her spine. "I like the quiet," she replied, hoping it sounded mysterious rather than sad. Sebastian nodded, though she could tell he wasn't really listening. He didn't need to. He had already won her over with the mere act of existing. "Quiet is good," he murmured, his eyes scanning the horizon as though the mundane world of school buses and minivans didn't interest him at all. Over the following weeks, their interactions became more frequent, though never predictable. Sometimes he would show up after school, sometimes in the early evening when she would sit on her porch, pretending to read while hoping he'd pass by. He never said much, but Lila had convinced herself that his silence was meaningful, that his reserved nature meant he was holding back emotions too deep, too complex for words. He was protecting her, she thought, protecting her from the darkness within him. Her parents began to notice her absences, the late night walks, the mysterious boy who seemed to appear and disappear at will. "Who's this boy you're seeing?" her mother asked one evening, her voice tinged with both curiosity and suspicion. "Nobody," Lila replied quickly, her eyes darting back to the book in her lap. "Just a friend." Her mother wasn't satisfied. "He seems older. Is he in college?" Lila shrugged. "He's just different." There it was again, different. A word that had become both her shield and her excuse. Different was the reason she couldn't explain him, the reason she didn't want to. If she kept him as a mystery, no one could ruin him with the dullness of reality. Sebastian, meanwhile, continued to play his part to perfection. He would ask her questions, but never too many. He would disappear for days, only to reappear with the same indifference, keeping her in a constant state of anticipation. And in the small town of Whitworth, where nothing ever changed, anticipation felt like a drug. It was a relationship built on silence and suggestion, and Lila, in her desperation for meaning, filled in the gaps. It wasn't long before Lila stopped hanging out with her friends altogether. Amy had tried to reach out once more, but after Lila canceled plans for the third time in a row, Amy stopped trying. Lila didn't mind, though. She told herself that friendships like that were temporary, fleeting. What she had with Sebastian was different, eternal. She felt safe in his presence, even though she knew nothing about him. It was as though his mere existence was a shield against the world, and anyone who questioned it was, in her mind, simply blind to what real love looked like. Of course, there were odd moments, like the time she asked him about his family, and he had laughed, a low, hollow sound that sent a chill through her. "Family," he had repeated, as if the word itself were a joke. "I had one once. Don't you miss them?" Lila had asked because it seemed like the right thing to say. Sebastian had turned to her then, his eyes narrowing in that way that made her feel as though he could see every secret she had ever tried to keep. "No," he said, "I don't miss anything." She had convinced herself that he meant he didn't need anything but her. It didn't occur to her until much later that perhaps he simply wasn't capable of missing anything at all. That maybe Sebastian was the kind of person or thing who had long since stopped caring for the living. But that was a thought she wouldn't allow herself to linger on. Not yet. For now, there was just the romance, quiet, brooding, and simmering just beneath the surface. The kind of romance Lila had always dreamed of. Act 2, The Warning Signs. It began with Amy. Whitworth wasn't the kind of town where people simply disappeared. There were no bustling highways, no sprawling forests into which someone might vanish without a trace. People lived their lives in neatly defined routines, school, work, weekends spent at the park or the diner, and anything that strayed from that rhythm was instantly noticed. So when Amy didn't show up for school on a Monday morning, it was something everyone whispered about. Lila heard the whispers, but paid them little attention at first. She and Amy had grown apart in recent weeks, and she figured that maybe Amy was just sick or playing hooky, tired of the relentless monotony of their classes. She told herself it didn't matter. She had something better, someone better now. Sebastian had taken her for a walk in the woods the night before. He had led her by the hand, deeper and deeper, until the lights of Whitworth disappeared behind the dense curtain of pines. He had smiled that knowing smile of his, as if amused by some private joke. They hadn't spoken much. There was no need. His presence alone was enough to make Lila feel like her life was no longer ordinary. But as the week wore on, Amy's absence became impossible to ignore. By Wednesday, the whispers had turned to hushed rumors, something about a search party and Amy's mother crying at the police station. Lila couldn't shake the unease that settled in her stomach, a nagging feeling that gnawed at her, even in Sebastian's presence. "Have you heard about Amy?" Lila asked him one evening as they sat on the steps of the abandoned church near the edge of town. She traced her fingers over the rough stone, her gaze shifting to Sebastian's face, trying to read his expression. Sebastian's eyes were fixed on the horizon, his face a study in detached calm. "The girl who's gone missing?" He spoke as if he barely remembered the details, his voice smooth and disinterested. Yes, she was my friend, Lila said, her voice trailing off. The words sounded strange to her. Amy had been her best friend, but now it felt like she was speaking about a stranger. She tried to summon the emotion she thought she should be feeling, concern, fear, but they seemed muted as if she were underwater. Sebastian turned to her then, his lips curving in a faint smile. People disappear all the time, Lila. It's just the way of the world. The way of the world. Lila wanted to protest, to say that Whitworth was different, that people didn't just vanish here. But the way Sebastian spoke made it sound inevitable, almost natural, and a part of her wanted to believe him. He always seemed to understand things in a way that was beyond her comprehension, and she took comfort in that, in the certainty that he offered. Still, that night, as Lila lay in her bed, staring at the ceiling, the unease lingered. It was as though something dark had settled over the town, something she couldn't quite name. She thought of Amy, of her laughter, of the way she used to roll her eyes whenever Lila spoke of Sebastian. She thought of the last time they had spoken, Amy's worried expression, her insistence that Lila was changing, that she wasn't herself anymore. "I'm worried about you," Amy had said, her voice cracking just a little, as if she knew Lila wouldn't listen. "This guy, he's not what you think." Lila had brushed her off, annoyed. She hadn't even said goodbye properly when Amy had left the cafe that day, the bell above the door chiming as she walked away. Lila had been too wrapped up in her own world, in her fantasies of tragic romance, to notice the look in Amy's eyes, a mixture of sadness and fear. By Friday, the search for Amy had escalated. The police were asking questions, knocking on doors. Her face was on flyers plastered to telephone poles, the kind that Lila had seen in movies, but never thought she'd see in her own town. Whitworth wasn't a place where girls went missing. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Sebastian, on the other hand, remained unfazed. He would appear by her side as if summoned by her unease, his presence both comforting and unsettling. He would brush her hair away from her face, his fingers cold against her skin, and tell her that everything was as it should be. He was all the reassurance she needed, and yet something in his eyes, something dark and empty, made her stomach twist. "Do you think she'll come back?" Lila asked him one evening as they sat on the hood of an old car in the junkyard on the edge of town. The sky was darkening, the stars beginning to peek through the indigo expanse above them. Sebastian looked at her, his expression unreadable. "No," he said simply, his eyes catching the light of the fading sun, glinting like shards of glass. "Some people just aren't meant to stay." There was a finality in his words that should have scared her, a truth that hovered just beyond her understanding, like a shadow in her peripheral vision. But Lila, lost in the thrill of her own imagined romance, chose not to see it. Instead, she leaned into him, her head resting against his shoulder, and closed her eyes. He was protecting her, she thought, keeping her safe from whatever dark thing had taken Amy away. She felt his arm wrap around her, and for a moment, all her doubts seemed to vanish. But in the darkness of the junkyard, as Sebastian's eyes stared unblinking at the distant horizon, there was no warmth in his embrace, only a hollow, predatory stillness. Sebastian had always been careful. Centuries of existence had taught him the importance of discretion, of balancing hunger with caution. In towns like Whitworth, it was the quiet, unremarkable places where he could indulge without consequence. He had perfected the art of slipping in and out of lives, of feasting without leaving a trace. He knew the value of patience, of taking just enough without arousing suspicion. Amy had been different. She had been too close to Lila, her concern too persistent. Sebastian had watched her, had seen the worry in her eyes, the way she tried to pull Lila back to the safety of her ordinary life. She was a complication, and complications were dangerous. He had dealt with her in the only way he knew how. He remembered the night clearly, the way the air had been heavy with the scent of pine and rain. Amy had been walking home, her footsteps echoing faintly in the stillness of the woods. She hadn't seen him at first. She never would have. He had moved like a shadow, silent and unseen, until it was too late. There had been no struggle, no screams, just a fleeting moment of surprise, her eyes widening as his cold hand covered her mouth, and then the swift, final bite. Her blood had been warm, filled with the vibrant fear of someone who still believed they had a future. It was the kind of fear that made the blood sweeter, richer. Sebastian had drunk deeply, savoring the taste, feeling the life drain from her as he held her close. He had left her body deep in the woods, hidden beneath a blanket of fallen leaves and underbrush. By the time they found her, if they ever did, she would be little more than a memory. It wasn't just Amy. Sebastian's appetite had grown since meeting Lila. He found himself drawn to her warmth, her naivety, the way she looked at him as if he were the answer to all her unspoken questions. He had begun to feed more often, slipping away in the dead of night to find another victim. Someone whose absence would be noticed, but not too quickly. A drifter, a stranger passing through. He had to be careful. He couldn't afford to draw attention, not when Lila was still so enraptured by him. And yet, there was something thrilling about it all. The risk, the danger of being discovered, the way Lila's devotion blinded her to the truth. He would return to her after each feeding, his hunger sated, his eyes darker, more intense. She would look at him, her gaze filled with longing, and he would smile, a smile that held no warmth, only hunger. Lila never questioned the coldness of his touch, the way his skin seemed to grow colder with each passing day. She never asked why he would disappear for hours, sometimes days, without explanation. She was content to believe in the fantasy she had created, the tragic romance she had always dreamed of. And Sebastian, ever the patient predator, allowed her to believe it. One evening, as they sat together in the darkened living room of the abandoned house Sebastian had claimed as his own, Lila turned to him, her eyes wide and earnest. "Do you ever get lonely?" she asked, her voice barely more than a whisper. Sebastian looked at her, his expression unreadable. Lonely. The word felt foreign to him, a concept that belonged to another lifetime, another version of himself. "No," he replied, his voice cold and flat. "I don't feel loneliness, Lila." She nodded as if she understood, but there was a flicker of something in her eyes. Doubt, perhaps, or fear. Sebastian reached out, his fingers brushing against her cheek, and she leaned into his touch, her eyes closing. He could feel the pulse of her blood beneath her skin, the steady beat of her heart, so fragile, so easily stopped. He smiled, his lips barely curving. "You're all I need," he said, the words a lie, but one she wanted to hear. And Lila, lost in her own illusions, believed him. Sebastian's appetite was insatiable, a darkness that could never be fully quenched. He knew that eventually, Lila would no longer be enough. Eventually, she too would become a complication, just like Amy. But for now, he was content to let her believe in their story, to let her think that she was the one who had saved him from his loneliness. For now, he would let her be his distraction, his entertainment, until the day came when her blood would be the only thing that could satisfy his hunger. Lila's parents had always given her space. They had been the kind of parents who trusted that their daughter knew best, that her solitary nature was simply who she was, and that eventually she would grow out of it. But as the weeks went by, as Lila's absences grew longer and her demeanor more withdrawn, they began to worry. Her mother, especially, had noticed the changes. The way Lila's once bright eyes now seemed distant, her laughter, always rare, now almost non-existent. She had tried to reach out, to ask if everything was okay, but Lila had brushed her off with the kind of indifference that only teenagers could muster. "I'm fine, Mom," she'd say, her eyes darting away, her voice flat. "I'm just tired." Her father had been less direct, watching from a distance, his concern growing in the quiet moments. He had noticed the strange boy, the one who seemed to appear and disappear without warning. He had tried to ask about him once, but Lila had shut him down, her tone sharp and defensive. "He's just a friend," she had snapped, her eyes narrowing. "Why do you care?" The tension in the house had grown palpable, the air thick with unspoken worries and unanswered questions. Her parents had started arguing late at night, their voices hushed but urgent, the way people speak when they're afraid of what they might discover. They spoke of counselors, of interventions, of anything that might bring their daughter back to them. But Lila was already gone, lost in the thrall of her own imagined love story. She spent more and more time away from home, finding excuses to be with Sebastian, to escape the growing pressure from her family. She told herself that they didn't understand, that they couldn't possibly comprehend the depth of what she felt, the connection she had with him. To her, their concern was an intrusion, an attempt to shatter the fragile beauty of the world she had built around herself and Sebastian. One evening, as Lila prepared to leave the house once again, her mother blocked the doorway, her eyes filled with desperation. "Lila, please," she said, her voice trembling. "We're worried about you. This boy, we don't even know who he is. You're slipping away from us." Lila felt a surge of anger, hot and irrational, bubbling up from somewhere deep inside her. "You don't need to know him," she snapped, her voice harsh. "You wouldn't understand." Her mother's eyes filled with tears, but she stood her ground. "We love you, Lila. We just want you to be safe. Please talk to us." For a moment, Lila hesitated. The desperation in her mother's voice, the tears brimming in her eyes, it almost broke through the wall she had built around herself. But then she thought of Sebastian, of the way he made her feel invincible. Act 3, The Escalation. It began with her mother. Lila had been spending most of her evenings with Sebastian, losing herself in the comfort of his cold embrace. The nights had become a blur, each one blending into the next as she wandered further from the life she had once known. Her parents had grown more and more distant, their concern met with her indifference, their love with her impatience. She wanted only Sebastian, and he wanted her to leave the rest behind. One night, when Lila returned home, she found the house eerily quiet. It wasn't unusual for her parents to have gone to bed, tired of waiting for their daughter to return. But tonight, the silence felt different, thicker, heavier, like a blanket smothering every breath. She called out softly, her voice barely carrying through the dimly lit hallway. "Mom, are you here?" No response. Lila frowned, walking toward the kitchen. The light was off and the table was empty, her mother nowhere to be seen. She checked her parents' bedroom, but the bed was undisturbed, untouched. It was as if her mother had simply vanished. Lila felt a pang of unease, but she pushed it aside. Maybe her mother had gone somewhere. Maybe she needed a break, some space. After all, things had been tense between them lately. Sebastian was waiting for her the next evening, as always, and Lila couldn't help but mention it. "My mom, she's gone. I don't know where she is," she said, trying to keep her voice steady. Sebastian just smiled, that same detached smile that made her feel both comforted and unsettled. "Maybe she just needed some time away," he said, his voice as smooth as ever. "People do that, you know. They need breaks from everything." Lila nodded, though the explanation felt hollow. There was something in Sebastian's eyes, a flicker of amusement, perhaps, that made her stomach twist. But she let it go, choosing instead to lose herself in the illusion of his protection, the safety he made her feel. A week passed, and her mother still hadn't returned. Lila's father grew frantic, his face pale and lined with worry. He called the police, filed a missing persons report, and spent his days pacing by the window, his eyes searching the street as if expecting her mother to simply walk back through the door. Lila tried to reassure him, echoing Sebastian's words. "Maybe she just needed some time," that she said, though even she could hear the doubt in her voice. Her father shook his head, his eyes haunted. "She wouldn't just leave us, Lila. She wouldn't leave without telling me." But Lila didn't know what else to say. She felt the weight of his desperation, his grief pressing down on her, and all she wanted was to escape, to run to Sebastian, to feel his arms around her and forget the pain that was swallowing her home. And then, one evening, her father was gone too. Lila returned home to find the front door ajar, the living room empty. Her father's coat was still hanging by the door, his shoes still by the mat. But he was nowhere to be found. The house was silent, oppressive, the air thick with something she couldn't name. She called out for him, her voice trembling, but there was no answer, just the empty echo of her own fear. She ran to Sebastian that night, her heart pounding, her breath coming in ragged gasps. "He's gone," she whispered, her voice breaking. "My dad, he's gone too." Sebastian wrapped his arms around her, his fingers cool against her skin. Maybe he went to find her, he murmured, his lips brushing against her hair. Maybe they both needed to get away, to clear their heads. Lila wanted to believe him. She wanted to believe that her parents had simply left, that they were somewhere out there, together, trying to make sense of everything. But deep down, a voice whispered that it wasn't true, that something was terribly, horribly wrong. What if something happened to them? She asked, her voice small, her eyes searching Sebastian's face for answers. Sebastian's gaze was calm, almost indifferent. People leave, Lila. They get tired, they move on. It's just the way of the world. His words echoed in her mind, a chill spreading through her chest. She wanted to argue, to scream that her parents wouldn't just leave her, that they loved her too much. But the look in Sebastian's eyes, cold, unfeeling, made her fall silent. He pulled her closer, his embrace tightening, and she let herself be held, the unease gnawing at her heart. Days passed, and the house felt emptier than ever. The police came and went, their questions unanswered, their concern mounting. Lila stayed with Sebastian more and more, unable to bear the emptiness, the growing certainty that her parents were never coming back. And through it all, Sebastian was there, his voice soft, his touch gentle, reassuring her that everything was fine, that she was safe with him. But the shadows in his eyes told a different story, one Lila was too afraid to face. The realization came slowly, creeping in like the dawn after a long, suffocating night. It started with little things, details that Lila couldn't ignore, no matter how hard she tried to convince herself otherwise. Her mother's perfume, the scent she had always worn, lingered in Sebastian's coat when he hugged her. The familiar cadence of her father's watch, a ticking that had always been present in the quiet of their home, echoed faintly in Sebastian's pocket when he moved. Lila's heart told her to ignore it, to brush away these coincidences as figments of her anxiety. But the voice in her head, the one that whispered that something was terribly wrong, grew louder, more insistent. She had trusted Sebastian, had let herself believe that he was her protector, her salvation. But now there were cracks in that image, tiny fissures through which the darkness of truth began to seep. The final push came from her last surviving friend, Beth, who had grown more distant over the past few weeks, her concern for Lila turning into something closer to fear. She had come to see Lila one last time, her face pale, her eyes wide with worry. "Lila, you have to see what's happening," Beth pleaded, her voice trembling. "Everyone's gone. Your mom, your dad, and all our friends. This is insane. I'm the only one left. It's him, Lila. It has to be him. You have to end this now. You never know who he takes next. It could even be you or me." Beth's words echoed in Lila's mind, the truth she had tried so hard to avoid, now impossible to ignore. She knew she had to confront Sebastian, even if it meant facing the darkness she had been so desperate to deny. One night, as she sat in the dimly lit room of Sebastian's abandoned house, Lila dared to ask the question that had been eating away at her for days. She turned to him, her fingers trembling as she traced a pattern on the dusty floorboards. "Sebastian," she began, her voice barely a whisper. "What happened to my parents? To my friends?" Sebastian's eyes met hers, his expression unreadable. He was silent for a moment, and then he smiled, a smile that sent a chill down her spine. "Why does it matter, Lila?" he asked softly. "You have me now. Isn't that enough?" She wanted to say yes. She wanted to believe that he was all she needed. But the unease in her chest had grown into something she could no longer ignore. She shook her head, her eyes filling with tears. I need to know what happened," she whispered, her voice cracking. "Please, Sebastian, tell me the truth." Sebastian sighed, his gaze hardening. "They were trying to come between us, Lila. Your parents, your friends, they didn't understand. They didn't want you to be happy. They wanted to take you away from me." He reached out, his fingers brushing against her cheek, his voice softening. "I did what I had to do to protect us, to protect our love." Lila's heart twisted, her mind reeling. What he was saying was insane, twisted and wrong, but there was a part of her, a part that still loved him, that wanted to believe him. He had made her feel special, made her feel like she was the center of his world, And now he was telling her that everything he had done was for her, for them. "But my parents," she whispered, her voice breaking. "They loved me. They wouldn't. They didn't understand you like I do," Sebastian interrupted, his eyes intense, his grip on her wrist tightening. "They wanted to control you, to keep you from being who you really are. But I saw you, Lila. I saw the real you, and I loved you for it. I still love you." Tears spilled down Lila's cheeks, her heart torn in two. She wanted to pull away, to run, but she also wanted to stay, to believe that what they had was real, that it was worth everything she had lost. She looked into Sebastian's eyes, searching for something, some hint of the love he claimed to feel, some sign that he was telling the truth. But all she saw was darkness, cold, empty darkness. I need to go," she stammered, her voice barely audible. She tried to stand, but Sebastian's grip on her wrist was like iron, holding her in place. "You're not going anywhere, Lila," he said, his voice calm, his eyes never leaving hers. "You're mine, and I'm not letting you go." Panic surged through her heart pounding as she struggled against his hold. But Sebastian's grip was unyielding, his strength far beyond anything she could fight. Tears streamed down her face as she realized the truth. She had walked willingly into the arms of a monster, and now there was no escaping him. Sebastian pulled her closer, his eyes boring into hers, his voice a whisper that sent a shiver down her spine. "You're mine, Lila, and there's no escaping that." Act 4, The Final Confrontation. The ensuing days were marked by an indistinct blur, each one bleeding into the next, as Lila found herself ensnared within the cold, suffocating grasp of Sebastian's possessive attachment. He scarcely allowed her a moment of solitude, and each time she sought to distance herself, his grip tightened. The world beyond seemed to dissolve, her existence reduced to the confines of Sebastian's abandoned abode, his insidious whispers filling her consciousness until coherent thought became nearly impossible. Beth's desperate words continued to reverberate within her mind, haunting her relentlessly. They echoed in the recesses of her consciousness, a persistent reminder of all she had lost, of everything Sebastian had taken from her. Lila could no longer sustain the pretense. This was not love. It was a prison, a meticulously constructed cage, and she had become little more than his captive. One night, beneath the waning moon that hung low in the sky, casting eerie shadows across the floor, Lila recognized the moment had come. She had reached the threshold of her endurance. She had to act, no matter the consequences. She could not allow Sebastian to strip her of the final vestiges of her autonomy. "Sebastian," she whispered, her voice quivering as she looked at him. He sat in the corner of the room, his eyes closed, a faint smile playing upon his lips as though basking in the contentment of his triumph over her. "I need to get some air. Please, just for a moment." He opened his eyes, and for a fleeting instant, Lila discerned the glacial calculation behind them, the possessiveness that had coiled around her heart like a vice. He rose slowly, crossing the room with predatory grace. His fingers brushed her cheek, and she recoiled at the chill of his touch. "You're not planning to leave me, are you?" he asked, his voice deceptively gentle. The words sent an involuntary shiver down Lila's spine, but she forced herself to meet his gaze, to stand resolute. "No," she lied, her voice barely audible. "I just need to breathe. I feel suffocated." For a moment, he scrutinized her, his eyes boring into hers. Then he sighed, his fingers trailing down to her wrist as he pulled her closer, his cold breath brushing her skin. "All right, Lila. But remember, I will always be here. I will always be watching." She nodded, suppressing her fear as she stepped away, her heart pounding. She moved toward the door, her hands trembling as she pushed it open. The crisp night air struck her like an awakening shock, the cold biting into her skin, and for the first time in what felt like an eternity, she experienced a fleeting flicker of hope. She had to leave, had to find a way to bring an end to this nightmare. Lila ran. She sprinted through the empty streets, her breath coming in ragged gasps as she stumbled over the cracked pavement. She had no clear plan, no sense of direction. She only knew she needed to get away from Sebastian, to put as much distance between them as possible. His voice echoed in her mind, the tender, manipulative promises that had ensnared her. She had trusted him, allowed herself to be deceived, and now she was paying the price. But she would not let him claim victory. She could not. The edge of town came into view, her lungs burning, her legs heavy with fatigue as she came to a halt. The woods loomed ahead, dark and forbidding, yet there was no alternative. She glanced over her shoulder, her heart lurching as she saw a figure approaching with an eerie, predatory grace. Sebastian. He was pursuing her, and she knew she could not evade him forever. She turned and plunged into the woods, branches tearing at her skin, the underbrush tingling around her feet. His presence lingered behind her, his footsteps steady and deliberate, a chilling reminder that no matter how far she ran, he would always find her. Lila, he called, his voice a disconcerting blend of affection and command. Return to me, my love. You know you can't hide from me. She did not answer, her breath hitching in her throat as she pushed deeper into the woods. She had to find a way to end this, to confront him. Running was futile. She needed to face the monster she had once believed to be her salvation. She halted, her heart pounding violently as she turned toward the direction of his approach. The shadows shifted, and then he emerged, stepping into the clearing, his eyes locking onto hers. He smiled, that same chilling smile that had once made her feel special, but now filled her with nothing but dread. Lila, he said softly, taking a measured step toward her. Why do you run from me? I have given you everything. Everything I have done, I did for you. Lila drew a deep breath, her hands trembling as she clenched them into fists. You took everything from me. Sebastian, my parents, my friends. You've destroyed my life. His smile faltered, his eyes narrowing as he advanced. They tried to take you away from me, Lila. They never understood what we shared. I did it all for us, for our love. This isn't love, she spat, her voice quaking. This is control. You're nothing but a monster. He stopped, his expression darkening. For the first time, Lila glimpsed the rage behind his eyes, the fury that had always lurked beneath his calm facade. He stepped forward again, his hands reaching for her, and she braced herself, her heart thundering. Before she could act, Sebastian lunged, his strength overwhelming. Lila fought back with everything she had, pushing, clawing, but her efforts were futile. He was far too powerful. He subdued her effortlessly, treating her resistance like a mere child's tantrum. His grip was unrelenting, his frustration evident as her screams echoed through the woods. Stop fighting me, Lila, he hissed, his voice cold and commanding. But Lila would not stop. She screamed for help, screamed in a desperate attempt to fend off the terror seizing her heart. Sebastian's patience finally wore thin. He pulled her closer, his eyes locking onto hers, cold, devoid of empathy. You leave me no choice, he murmured, and with that, he sank his teeth into her neck. The sharp, searing pain silenced her screams as darkness enveloped her. The first light of dawn began to break when Sebastian finally rose, wiping the blood from his lips as he looked down at Lila's lifeless body. The woods had grown silent, the metallic tang of blood thick in the air. He sighed, his gaze a mixture of regret and satisfaction, as he turned away. She had been different, special in her own way. But she had failed to understand, had refused to surrender herself completely. And that made her, like all the others, ultimately expendable. Sebastian made his way through the woods, his steps light and measured, as though he were merely taking an early morning stroll. He reached the outskirts of town just as the first rays of sunlight began to illuminate the rooftops, a faint smile tugging at his lips. He had lingered in this place long enough. It was time to move on. There were always other towns, other lonely souls longing for something that only he could offer. As he walked, his thoughts drifted to his next destination. A small, quiet town, perhaps, one where people still clung to the ideal of love at first sight, where the allure of mystery could captivate an unsuspecting heart. He would find someone new, someone who would gaze into his eyes with wonder, who would embrace his lies, who would willingly fall into his grasp. After all, he had eternity, and the world was never short of lonely, vulnerable hearts waiting to be claimed. A soft chuckle escaped his lips, cold and detached, as he disappeared into the morning mist, his mind already plotting the next town, the next victim, the next game to be played. And so, dear listeners, Lila's story comes to a grim conclusion, a reminder of the dangers that lurk behind charm and allure. Sebastian, the eternal predator, leaves behind nothing but a shattered shell of what once was, moving on to his next unsuspecting victim. Another heart waiting to be claimed, another soul to be devoured. As the mist rises, he vanishes into the next sleepy town, ready to begin his twisted game once more. For those who dare to believe in the magic of love at first sight, beware. Sometimes the shadows love you back, but not in the way you might hope. Thank you for joining us tonight, here at Midnight Tales, where darkness is never far away, and the line between love and terror is easily blurred. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, please remember to rate the podcast and share it with friends and family. You can also find our stories on midnighttales.org, where they are available for purchase as ebooks for a small amount, helping support the show. Until next time, stay vigilant, stay wary, and keep your heart safe from those who wish to take it forever.